with the old book. And that's what the plan is. So right here, Revelation 21, verse 5. The Lord God says, he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said unto me, "John, write, for these words are true and faithful. It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end." Amen. And we've got something new. We get new mercies every morning as we get a new day. The Lord wants to bless us with new life, spiritual life. He wants to bless us with a new heart and a new conscience and a new love for God and our fellow man, with a new mind, with new thoughts and new attitudes. He wants to give us new revelations that will help us understand the Bible and give us discernment. He wants to put new songs in our heart about Jesus and God and salvation. He wants to give us these new mercies to renew our strength every morning when we get up. It gives us a new commandment, which is that unconditional love for our brothers and our sisters in the Lord. A new testament, which is superior to the old. Apostle Paul said that in the book of Hebrews. Give us a new name given by God, and he's got one written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and it will be revealed to us in a new home for eternity where it's all paid for, a new taxes. This is all courtesy of the new birth, and you know where it's all found? In the old book. Everything I just told you is found in the old book. You know what you want to do in the new year? Make a resolution to read this book. Why do I want to read this book? Well, that great book of Psalms, which is a great book to get into, the first psalm is about the blessed man. And the blessed man, a bunch of things he doesn't do, but you know what he does? He delights in the law of the Lord. That's God's word. And in his law, in that word, doth he meditate day and night to get blessed. We need blessings in our life. The world wants to throw egg on us and give us all kinds of problems, and we need a blessing. And the only one that can bless is the Lord. I was listening to someone the other day, somebody sneezed, and the person next to him said, "Bless you." And I thought, who's going to bless him? God? How about the Lord God? How about a relationship with God and getting a true blessing? And this book will get you the blessing. The English philosopher John Locke, who wrote the book Two Treatises of Government that helped build and found America, this is what he wrote. The Bible is one of the greatest blessings bestowed by God upon men. It has God as its author, salvation for its end. It has truth without mixture for its matter. It is all pure. It is all sincere. It's nothing too much and nothing wanting. That's the book you want to spend time with. Again, the average American, the newspaper, the magazine. The Christian, it should be the book of books. That's where we want to spend our time in the new year, is with the old book. Somebody wrote years ago, the book contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, the bliss of the believers. The doctrines in this book are holy. Its precepts are binding. Its history is true. Its decisions are immutable. They ain't going to change. Read this book to be wise. Believe it to be safe. Practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, the food to support you, and the comfort to cheer you. The Bible is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's character. Here, paradise is restored, heaven is open, and the gates of hell are disclosed. Jesus Christ is the grand theme of this book. Our good is its design, and the glory of God is its end. It should fill our memory. It should rule our heart. It should guide our feet. Read it slowly. Read it frequently. Read it prayerfully. It is given in this life, and it will be opened in the judgment, and it will endure eternally. This book involves the highest responsibility. It will reward the believer's labor, and it will condemn all who trifle with its sacred contents. You don't want to do that. Tremble at this book. Read this book. Spend time with this book to be blessed. Also, to know Jesus Christ. That's the greatest knowledge you'll ever have, is to know Christ. Jesus was speaking with some people who were religious people, and he had to tell them, "You have not God's word abiding in you. For you don't believe the one that he sent. Search the scriptures, he said, for in them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. You want to know Christ? You got to read this book. This book is written, the Gospel of John, many other signs Jesus truly did in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. The law of Moses gives the foundation for Christ. The history books of the Old Testament show the preparation for Christ. That's the Messiah. The poetry books that are found express the aspiration for Christ. The prophecy books proclaim the expectation of Christ. And the Gospels record the manifestation of Christ. And the book of Acts relates the propagation of Christ and his ministry. And all the New Testament epistles give the interpretation of Christ, and Revelation describes the consummation of all things in Christ when he makes the new heaven and the new earth. Why do you want to read it? To be blessed. Why do you want to know it? To know Jesus Christ. To possess eternal life and the assurance that comes with eternal life. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. What type of life? That's eternal life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. He may have temporary life, but he's going to die in his sins. And these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. Do you know that you know? You'll know with this book. Amen. Another reason why you do is not just to know Christ, but to get some light in your life. I mean, we need direction. And in order to have direction, we can't do that in the dark. We need a light in our lives. And the book of the Psalms, the longest book in the Bible, is all about the Word of God. It's Psalm 119. The longest book is the Psalms. The longest chapter is Psalm 119. And it says in there, Psalm 119, 105, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. I don't know which way I'm going to go in life. Spend some time with this book. God will direct you. God will show you which way. I don't know what's going to happen. God will show you what's going to happen. He'll show you his plans. And his plans are great. And they're eternal. And they can be personally appropriated. You want some light? You need this book. He says later on in that same Psalm, verse 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. But you got to let them enter in. If you close your eyes to them, you don't listen to them, you don't read them, they can't enter in. You let them enter in, and you know what the entrance does? It gives understanding unto the simple. You can have answers that they can't have on Dr. Phil and other places right here in this book. God knows souls. God knows spirits. God knows you. He'll tell you things that you need to know. It gives us light. 2 Peter chapter 1. And verse 19, the Apostle Peter writes, Second Peter 1:19, we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. God wants your heart to be aflame with the light of truth. You know, it's a dark world. You don't know what's going to happen. We hear all the things on the news, the terrorist bombings, the weather changing, all that. We don't know what's going to happen. But with this book, we have a sure word of prophecy of what God is going to do. One of the things I learned in the book of prophecy is people are trying to save the planet. What for? God's going to destroy it. When I want to work against God, when he's ready, he'll destroy it. 2 Peter tells you about that in the 3rd chapter. He's going to destroy this planet. Yes, he has every intention of destroying this planet. But before he destroys it, he's going to renew it, like he says in Psalm 104, and make it like the Garden of Eden again. So yeah, man is running it down with the mess, but Jesus is going to reform this whole surface of the earth and renew it so his children can live on here in the Garden of Eden worldwide. And we have a sure word of this prophecy. And you know where you learn it? In this book. It gives us light. General Robert Lee, one of the greatest military men in American history, said, and he would read the Bible every day, "In all my distresses, the Bible has never failed to give me light and strength." By the way, he learned some battle tactics in this book. My friend Kirk Delaney, who was a major in the Army, and he was in charge of battle tactics and strategy, said some of the greatest battle plans come right out of the Bible. The way God led Joshua when they were taking the promised land. And I'm sure Robert Lee learned some things there too. Yes, why do I read it? To be blessed. Why do I read it? To know Christ. Why do I read it? To get light. Why else? To get some power when I'm weak. There are times when I'm run down. There are times when I'm just weary, when I need some help. And when Jesus taught one day in Capernaum, in the city of Galilee, they turned and they said one to another, they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. They were all amazed, and they spake among themselves, and they said, "What a word is this, for with authority and power he commandeth anything he wants." And the power is in God's word. The word of God is quick and powerful. Nothing will get to a solution quicker than God's word. And nothing will give you the strength after it shows you what needs to be done, give you the strength to accomplish what needs to be done with the power of this book. It's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged physical sword. Napoleon Bonaparte was a great military leader and a conqueror. And he said, as he was looking at the Bible, "This is no mere book. This is a living power that conquers all that oppose it." And he didn't want to stand against this book. And so why? I want to be blessed. I want to know Christ. I want some light in my life. I want some power. That's why. But who should read this book? Well, God gives us the answer in Deuteronomy chapter 32. Who should read this book in the new year? Well, according to God, Deuteronomy 32, verse 1, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth." He'd like everyone on planet Earth to read this book. That's his desire. I think it grieves God at his heart that he's made a creature in his image, that'd be man and women and children. And what can we do? We have the ability to speak. We have the ability to hear. We have the ability to read. We have the ability to write. The animals can't do that. Dolphins can't do that. Chimpanzees can't do that. Reptiles can't do that. The ability to speak and understand speech, that's something God gave us because Jesus is the Word. And He wants us to have words. And He wants to communicate with us in words. And we go about, and I don't know how many things we read on a daily basis. I guess most people read more than anything text messages from what I see. I don't know, but I watch people and it seems like they're on this thing all day long. And it seems that this is where they get most of their information, is in a little thing they hold in their hand. And I don't know how many words pass by their eyes in a day. 6, 7, 12, 15, 1500? I don't know. And day in and day out, people move about this planet and they don't read this book, the one book where the words are from God. They're not from another man or another woman. They're written, they're from heaven. And earthlings ought to read this book. If you can read the things written by other earthlings, why not read the book that came from heaven and from the Creator Himself? God wants earthlings to read this book. He says it in Deuteronomy 32. He said it again in the book of Isaiah chapter 1. He told the prophet, after telling Moses, he told the prophet Isaiah chapter 1, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken." I wonder what God thinks. He told you in His book. I wonder what God would say right there. What would Jesus do? I don't know what He would do, but I know what He would say because I can read it in the book. And then I can probably figure out what He would do right there in the book. Earthlings are supposed to read it. The President of the United States, the sixth President, John Quincy Adams, he was president in the early 1800s. He said, "This book, the Bible, is the book of others, of all others, for people to read at all ages and in all conditions of life." In our schools, it should be one of the first books we put in a child's hand. The Gospel of John is a great book to put in a young child who's learning to read. And read all those simple words that are profound and deep. Remember, J. Vernon McGee was teaching in the Gospel of John in the 14th chapter. And he said, Jesus said to his men, at that day ye shall know I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. And you look at that sentence, and every single word in that sentence is one syllable, except for Father. Was there another one? That's two syllables. Every one is a one syllable except for the word Father. And they're all simple words. And yet they're deep. And they're profound. And you give that to a child and let them start thinking about the truth that they can be in Christ and Christ can be in them. And they can have an eternal relationship. Everyone on planet Earth should read it. You know who else ought to be reading it? Are God's kids. I mean, if you are a child of God by faith in Jesus Christ, one of the things you have to purpose in your heart to do this year is to read God's book. One of the sad things I've discovered, and it's not just me, but anybody that's taught Bible, has found out that the average Christian in America in the last 50 years hasn't read their Bible once through. Not once. Not once have they read through the Bible. And they're a child of God. Now look, I might expect a worldling not to do it, but the child of God, Deuteronomy 4 verse 1, now hearken therefore, O Israel, unto the statutes and the judgments which I teach you, for to do them that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. You need to hearken. You need to look at these statutes. You need to look at these judgments. You need to be taught these judgments. You need to read them. Proverbs 4 and verse 20. All through the book, it's giving us good instruction as to how we should spend and redeem our time. My son, attend unto my words, saith the Lord. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. God's children should read this book. You need to purpose this year, I'm going to read this book. Now, if you can't do it in a year, then take 2 years, but purpose, you're going to get it done. And when the year is up, you've gotten through half of the book, and you're going to finish this book. You need to spend this new year with the old book so that you not only are blessed and you know Christ and you have light and you have power, but you're just obedient as the child of God. And if you're a teacher and you work in Sunday school or you're in a pulpit, pastor, you better read this book. I've been on retreats with pastors. Pastors retreats. We're all together with our wives. And they get up in the morning and a cup of coffee and the Bible's not with them. And they're reading books about the book. I remember being at a pastor's retreat. Now, my manner is to read the Bible. So my Bible is with me at all times. I don't go anywhere without this book. This book comes along with me. And I'm at the retreat, and I get up in the morning, and I'm reading. And pastors had passed by, and the one pastor said, would you stop reading? You're convicting the rest of us. I can even give you the name of the guy. I don't want to give it. Forget it. Yeah. Teachers better be reading this book. You're going to teach God's Word. Paul told Timothy, this is a faithful saying and worthy in all acceptation. These things you better command and teach. Until I come, Timothy, you better give attendance to reading and to exhortation and to doctrine. You need to study to show yourself approved, Timothy, and you need to study God's book. That's what you need to study. That's what the people need, is they need the Word of God. That will give them the blessing. That will give them light. That will give them power. And so you need to study it and you need to read it so that you can give it to them. So every time you're together with them, you can feed them like you're supposed to do. Timothy, if you're a pastor, who should read it? Not just earthlings, not just God's children, God's teachers. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. Isaiah 34:16. When should I read it? Well, Matthew chapter 6, Verse 11 tells us, this is Jesus speaking, teaching us to pray. In verses 9 and 10, you know, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." But he just said a chapter earlier, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." The greatest feeding you need is a spiritual feeding. He went out there for 30 days. Was it 30 days? 40 days. And he didn't eat any physical food, but he meditated on God's Word and studied the scrolls every day. He fed himself spiritually. And that strong spirit held him up in the infirmity of the weakened fasting condition he was in. Strong enough to help him beat the devil in a spiritual battle. You need to feed your soul. You need to feed your spirit. I know you take some time to feed your body. I know people will do that. You need to feed your spirit. You need to feed your soul. When? Every day. Give us this day some daily bread. And, you know, what do I need again? Well, it's the Word of God. And Jesus said in the book of Revelation to John on the Isle of Patmos, he said in the first chapter, "Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy." You can get a blessing whether you're reading or hearing. Simon got up this morning. I had to do some work in the kitchen. And the first thing I did went right to the computer. And I turned on a Bible teacher and flipped it on and listened to some guy teaching from the book of the Acts of the Apostles. And it's good. It's just the guy's reading some Bible. He's commenting on the Bible. And I'm getting the blessing of hearing the words of God. I mean, what, I want to listen to the news? When I listen to some, you know, music on the radio, when I can be hearing God's Word, and I get a blessing from just hearing it as it's preparing your mind. And then, like we saw in Psalm 1, meditating on it. You're reading it. You're hearing it. You're meditating on it at home, at church, you know, in between, you know, looking at what's new on the cell phone for 5 minutes, you hear something that the pastor is saying, and hearing it at church is good. Getting a little bit of a feeding there for a few moments. CDs, they don't have those anymore, do they? They got, you know, sermon audio online. There's places you can go. YouTube now has teachers on there. James Knox, great. Go and listen to Brother James. Get someone reading a King James Bible, commenting on the King James Bible. That's what we need to do. And how we need to do it, Luke 4:4, every word. Not just a little bit here and a little bit there, but every word. God wants us to at least once get through every word in the Bible. Now, after that, I understand if you're not a teacher, you're not a pastor, then you need to go over the Psalms, and you need to go over the Proverbs, and you need to review the Gospels, and you need to review the writings of Paul. And those alone will continually feed you, and you need to stay in church attendance. But at least once, Jesus said, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." You need to purpose, once in my life, I'm going to get through the entire Bible. I'm going to come up with a Bible reading plan. I have a bunch of them back here. I'll help you come up with a decent one. You can just sweep from beginning to end if you want. Genesis to Revelation. I was talking to a man last week. He said, "I tried that, and you get a little bit dry, so I'll read a few chapters of the Old Testament and then one in the New. And then the next day, a few chapters in the Old and then one in the New." And if you do that, like in a 2-to-1 or 3-to-1 ratio, 3 chapters Old, 1 New, you'll get a nice balance, and God will fill you, and you'll get through the book. And then you can go back to your regular reading, however you want to do it. John Quincy Adams, the president, said the Bible shouldn't just be read once or twice and then laid aside. It should be read in small portions of 1 or 2 chapters a day as long as you live. After all, you do feed your body every day, and your soul and your spirit is more important than your body. So we saw why I want to be blessed. I want to know Christ. I want to have some light. I want to have some power. Who? Well, if I'm a child of God, I'm without excuse if I don't look into this book and pay attention to my Father's words. Every day. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to both read it, I'm going to hear it, I'm going to attend when it's preached. I love preaching sessions when I can go and hear someone preach the Word of God. I love to hear the Word of God. And how I want to do it, I want to make sure I get through every word at least once and then continue in the books that are going to help me be a good husband, a good father for the ladies, be a good mom, a good sister. Whatever God has you doing, you want to do that. Now, the other question we have, because we live in a time, and I was just at the Bible bookstore, about a week or so ago with Christmas coming up to get some gifts for people. And they had a section, a whole bunch of shelves and shelves and shelves of different Bibles. And there are all kinds of Bibles there. Not just study Bibles and devotional Bibles, but different name Bibles. There's an NIV, there's a this, that, and there's a Living, and there's all these types of Bibles over there. Which Bible should I read? Does it make a difference? And then they'll say, well, no, just pick the one that you like best. How about picking the one that God likes best? Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Who is as the wise man? And who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom makes his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard of the oath of God. Verse 4, where the word of a king is, there is power. Who may say to him, what doest thou? Now, there are two Bibles that have the word king in them that you can find at the bookstore. There's the old King James Bible. And there's the New King James Bible. So I wonder which one of the two should I pick? I'm not certain. I wonder if the Bible can help me with that answer. Go a couple books to the right. Go to Jeremiah chapter 6. And look at verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, trying to determine which one, and see, and then ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and you'll find rest for your souls. So let's say, do I go with the old or do I go with the new? Well, he says go with the old. In that book of Ecclesiastes that talked about the word of the king with all the power, in the first chapter it said over and over, there is no new thing under the sun. There is no new thing under the sun. Why? Because our God is of old. He's of ancient days. He's from everlasting. He's given us the old paths and the old word, not the new ways. You know, everything, I don't know if you've even noticed in commercial enterprises at the grocery store, sometimes the new and improved really isn't all that new and it ain't that improved. The old way was the better way. And when it comes to God's word, God gave his word once and he doesn't change it. It doesn't need to be updated and improved. Because like he said, every word of God is pure. These are the words of the preacher, the son of David, the king in Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is nine letters that also has the word James in there and the word rule. So it's going to be one of those King James Bibles is the better one to be the rule of my faith. And God says, go with the old one. The old is better. Ironically, Kevin, maybe you've heard this quote by Bishop Westcott. This is ironical that he would say this. He said, thoughts are wedded to words as necessarily as the soul is wedded to the body. Very interesting. But the point is, you can't really express a thought without the right words. They go together. Like Dr. Keeper said, music needs notes. Mathematics needs figures. Thoughts need words. If I want to express a thought to you, I need words. And they're wedded together. It's not the thoughts that are inspired, it's the words that are inspired. So I wish Westcott had paid a little attention. The Bible says every word of God is pure. That's the Bible that says it. Proverbs 30, verse 5. So it's speaking on its own behalf. Every word is pure. So in the first words given in English by God here, in the Old King James, every word is pure. The New King James is going to change some words. They're going to be impure. So you don't trust them. And by the way, if you have common sense, when the Old King James was made, guess who was sitting on the throne? King James. When the New King James was made in the 1970s and 80s, there was a queen on the throne. How can it be a New King James Bible? What's her name on the throne? It should be the Queen Elizabeth Bible. How can it be a King James Bible? It would take only a Christian to be dumb enough to believe that, but we're not that foolish. We can think. You get the right book. Words, thoughts need words, and they're wedded together. And God wanted to communicate the thoughts and intents of His heart to His children, and He chose the pure and the perfect, inspired, and preserved words to give them to you. There was a story that Dr. McGee was talking about, this a girl who was taking singing lessons from a famous teacher. And one day she had to give a recital, and the teacher came and sat up front while she was singing. And when it was all done, she wanted to know what he thought of her singing. And he had told her friend who was sitting up there while she was singing what his thoughts were. So she said to the friend, well, what did he say? Her friend was very loyal and said, well, he said you sang heavenly. She's thinking, is that exactly what he said? She said, well, not exactly, but that's what he meant. She insisted, well, tell me what exact words he used. His exact words were, that was an unearthly noise. And thoughts are wedded to words. And you don't want to change them. And God wants you to read the ones that He gave. Reed Buckley, William Buckley's brother, trains professional speakers. And he wrote, any English-speaking son or daughter of the Christian West who has not savored and indeed soaked him or herself in the King James Holy Bible is irreparably ignorant and culturally deprived. The depths of the riches of the treasures of this book have pervaded all through our society. And you're culturally ignorant without a knowledge of this book. In the new year, you want to spend time with the old book. You want to read this book through. Amos Wells wrote this little poem because he'd met a lot of Christians in his life. And as he began to talk with them, he found they were ignorant of many portions of the Bible. And they would usually say, well, I like this part. I like this part. It's like a smorgasbord to me, a buffet. I just go get a little bit here and a little bit there. And so he wrote this poem and he said, I suppose I knew my Bible, reading piecemeal, hit or miss. Here a bit of John and Matthew, and there a snatch of Genesis, some of the chapters of Isaiah, certain Psalms, the 23rd, the 12th of Romans, the 1st of Proverbs. Sure, I knew God's Word. But then I found that faithful reading was a different thing to do. The way was unfamiliar when I read the Bible through. Hey, you who like to play at Bible and dabble here and there, who kneel and yawn and hurry through a superficial prayer, who treat the crown of all writings as you treat no other book, just a paragraph disjointed, a crude impatient look. Why don't this year you try a worthier procedure? Try the full and the faithful view, and you will kneel in very rapture when you read the Bible through. And this is the year you want to spend a new year with the old book. And my desire is to help you any way I can. I'll give you plans. I will encourage you from the pulpit. I'll give you the booklet that you can copy things down and take your notes. But you want to spend the new year with the old book. Look, we live in a rough world. A lot of things are going on. We need the light. We need the comfort. We need the grace. We need the strength. All that we're going to get from this book and only from this book. People want the Spirit of God, but the Spirit of truth attends the Word of truth. And if you want it, you need to fill with these words so He can fill you on the inside. Another year, our future path lies hidden, and the shadows seem to fall across the way. Read on, Christian soldier. A light before thee shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Another year, the days grow more evil with the dark threats that Satan sends. Fear not, Christian. Our Lord has written, I am with you always, even to the very end. Another year, the land is parched and our souls are searching for precious grain. Pray on, Elijah's God will surely answer with manna and the latter rain. Another year, we wait with eager longing and the midnight hour comes apace. Look up! Redemption's day is dawning. Soon we'll see the Savior's face. And the way we want to spend the new year is with the old book. We need the spiritual new life. We need the new heart with the reset conscience. We need the new mind with precious thoughts and attitudes. We need those new revelations that will give us discernment. We need those new songs so we can sing and we can praise in front of the heathen and bring joy and gladness to our souls and to our Savior. We need those new mercies to renew our strength every day, not just for ourselves, for those around us. We need to obey that new commandment and show that unconditional love that Jesus showed us to others. That New Testament we need to spend time in and build us up in the knowledge of our Savior. And one day we're going to get to our new home. Maybe this will be the year. And while we're doing it, what better way to redeem the time than to spend the new year with the old book? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for an encouraging message to get us ready to start the new year. And Lord, we thank you that you've been so good that through the centuries, those holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And you took those precious words and like you translated Enoch, you translated them into our language of English where every word of God is pure. And I would ask now, Lord, that you would help us to fill our souls, our spirit, our heart, and our mind with these words and conform us to the image of thy dear Son. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.